I'd like for us to think about the subject of fear of God. And I do appreciate all the titles that the Lord has, like He's a friend. I appreciate my friend. He's a brother. I appreciate that He's a brother. And Scripture talks about our Father, and my Father in heaven. I appreciate those terms. Those are human terms. And if we're not careful, they can give us the idea of equality. Friends are equal in status. Brothers are equal in status. We're not equal with God. We don't have an equality with God. And I've noticed a real lack of the fear of God in our nation, in our communities. There's a real lack of the fear of God. People are more and more not even believing that there is a God to fear. But people that do believe it, many times don't have much of a fear of Him. I want to read a definition of fear. It's the trembling and awful reverence felt towards God. It's a respectful reverence. God is the creator of the universe. He holds our life in His hand. It's His decision that we do well today or we don't. It's in God's hands whether we live the rest of this year out or we don't. It's in God's ability to stop the storms or stir them up again. It's in God that we live and move and have our beings. We're not equal with God in any way. We are a creation of God. We ought to have a great respect and honor for God. A respectful reverence. A trembling, awful reverence towards God. If we're not very careful in our familiarity, in our religion, we bring God down to our levels that we can do anything, say anything, be anyway, in the presence of God, or with holy and reverent things, and we lose the fear of God. And it's very, very important that we have a real healthy fear of God. He is a God Almighty. There is nothing exists without Him. We ought to honor, we ought to humble ourselves before our great God. And there is, I believe the Bible speaks a lot about it, and maybe you haven't considered it like you should. So with saying that, Lord help us, that we have a fear of God. I want to start with a familiar scripture in the 5th chapter of Acts. We all probably know where I'm going with this one. First verse says, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now, there was an awful error made here. We'll go on with the story, but there was an awful error made here. And the error made was a lack of the fear of God. Had they have feared God and who God was, they wouldn't have schemed such a thing. There would have been an awesome, hey, you know you can pull stuff over on me. Hey, unless the Lord revealed it to me, I wouldn't have a clue. I can be pretty naive about activities and what's going on, but you can't pull anything over God. You realize that the Lord knows exactly who you are and what you're thinking and what you're wanting to do. And your very inmost part of you, God knows it all together. Completely knows you. You're naked and open before whom we have to do. And there's nothing you can hide from Him at all today. Nothing. That in itself ought to bring a realization about God. I can't hide a thing from Him. I'm completely open. But let's consider Ananias and Sapphira a little bit. I don't know that the scripture says much more about them than the 5th chapter of Acts. If it does, I don't know. History says not much about them. So I don't know who they were, where they came from, or what their idea was, but I do know this. They were followers of the Lord in some way or another. They had some kind of a desire to support the work of the Lord, did they not? But because they sold their land, there was a lot of people said that that old religion ain't worth nothing. They didn't sell their land for anything. I'm going to tell you, it's a dangerous thing to trifle with God. It's a dangerous thing to trifle with God. You'd be better off not to do anything than trifle with God. Here's a perfect example of it. Ananias and Sapphira was within the camp. They was within the believers. They sold their land for the very express purpose to give money to them. But they was hypocrites. They weren't genuine. They wanted to be known as something that they wasn't. And the Lord took exception to it. I'll say this. You can lie to the guy at the grocery store. Now it ain't right to lie. And you can lie to your mechanic. You can lie to your banker. But don't lie to Peter. There's something about it. See, they wouldn't have suffered no things from lying. A lot of people lie. But they lied about something that they shouldn't have lied about. They didn't have a fear of God in their hearts. God is real. God is God. We ought to have a respect for God. If anything, you can use a lot of slang, bad language, but I'll say something. Don't use God's name. You ought to fear God. Well, he even said to him, there is no criminality in keeping your land for yourself. Say, I'm not willing to sell my land and give it up. Fine. You don't have to. God's not going to make you do it. Or you could say, I'm going to sell it and I'm going to give half of it to the work of the Lord and keep the other half. Well, was it not yours after you sold it, Peter said? It was yours while you had it. The money was yours after you sold it. You could have done anything. Do it honestly before God. Don't trifle with God. You're getting into a place here. Don't trifle with God. Be upright. Be forthright with God. Because it's dangerous not to. He says here, why hast thou to conceive this in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And I want us to remember that. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Now listen, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now you found out the reason why God dealt this harshly with Ananias and Sapphira. This was a very important part of the work of God. They had hindered it. They were being hypocrites about it. There was a lying about it. I don't suppose that Peter had in his heart that he wanted to destroy them. He couldn't stop it. It wasn't his decision that they died, that they fell over dead. It was God's decision that they fell over dead because they disrespected God. They dishonored God. And I imagine that for a long time after that, it weeded out the hypocrites around. Because people was afraid. Did you hear what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? We knew them. We lived right down the road. And all that heard these things, all those that in the church and everybody that knew around that said, don't trifle with God. If you don't really mean it, you better not do it. You better have a respect for God because God is real. Amen. And God is working. And a great fear came upon the church. I don't think it hurt their joy. There's no opposite. You can be joyful and respectful. I don't think that this fear that come on them kept them from having a heartfelt joy or rejoicing in God and being glad that they're, so I don't think it had anything to do with it because they're not, it don't have to be. But there was a great fear came on them. That they would say, Lord, help us to do it right. Help us not to be plain. Help us not to hinder other souls with our playing. Help us not to give a bad example as we're saints and give a bad example to the world. But the fear of God came on them. In the work of the Lord, biblical doctrine, if you will, is that ministers are required, how to say this right, ministers are required a higher life than others. In this sense, we're to be blameless. You don't have to be. But we're required to. Understand what I'm saying? We would welcome any sinner in here so we can be saved. Anybody that has a need can come in here. But it is a biblical doctrine that ministers be above reproach. And if that reproach comes, we have to be quick to make sure we get it right. Agreed? That is the definition in the scriptures. We're to be blameless and above reproach. And ministries have that, and we get that pretty much on a regular basis. Most of you will hold us to it. And there are some that will make sure they hold us to it. Well, that's all right too. But you can't have it both ways, folks. If you're going to say that, then you're going to have to give the honor to the God's minister. That's scriptural too. And there's a reason for it. And listen, I'm a minister, so it's hard to say these things sometimes, but it's a biblical truth. You can lie to your mechanic and you can lie to the grocery store guy, but you better not lie to Peter. You know, there were some boys one time went around, and there was a prophet gone, and the boys said, bald head, making fun of him. Listen, you can make fun of your mechanic and you make fun of the neighbor, but don't make fun of Elijah, because you're disrespecting the man of God. And the man of God has to perform God's business, and it's hard to do. And when you're interfering with him, you're not respecting God. You got to respect God. Fear God. Fear God's work. Because if you don't, you're in a dangerous, dangerous place not to. There's a fear of God that we all ought to have. I accept the fact that I ought to be, to stand before you. I ought to be blameless before you. I shouldn't have cheated you. I shouldn't lie to you. I should be blameless. But this isn't always an easy job. And if you want to make it real hard on you, on me, you call me up on Saturday night and give me a good railing. And you've just complicated my Sunday morning message. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the reason you're stepping into an area that you better respect. Because God takes it seriously. He takes it very seriously. So fear God. The church had a fear on him because of what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. May that we all feel the fear of that moment in our hearts and lives. That we honor God. That we fear God for what he can do. There's another scripture, I think it's in Matthew 10. Verse 26 says, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Here's the one to fear, to have ultimate respect and honor. May the fear of God rest on all of us. That if God doesn't work in our behalf, we can't be saved. It's the mercy of God that we're saved. It's the mercy of God that we're going to be able to make heaven. It's by God's power that we're going to be able to do it. It's by our humbling ourselves before God to be able to get that blessing that he has. So therefore, let us reverence God. And he tells us specifically, we don't need to fear men, for they're just men. Okay, they maybe God will allow them and they can destroy your body. That's all they'll get. They can't touch the rest of you. But God can. God can. Do you remember the man that was walking beside the Ark of the Covenant? They was carrying the Ark. And he was carrying the Ark along, and the Ark wobbled to fall, and the man stuck his hand out to steady the Ark. And the Lord had commanded him, don't touch my Ark. Keep your hands off of it. God don't care about mud. God made mud. It's always obedient to him. Every time it rains in the dirt, it gets mud. It'll do it every time. Just like God told it to do. There's no disobedience in mud. God don't dislike mud. God hates sin. Amen. And God hates for sinful man to do something told him not to. Well, I ask you this question. Why do you suppose that guy was so arrogant, so indifferent to be walking close enough to the ark to put his hand out on it? He didn't have no fear of God. Because if he'd have been fearing God, he'd have said, I'm staying away from what God told me not to touch. I'm going to stay as far away from that because I take God seriously about this. Instead of being indifferent about it. We hold our services as precious to us. This isn't in any way a condemnation or a stifling of anybody's free spirit in the Lord. I'm glad that God can lead us and help us and that we have the freedom of the Spirit in our services. But honestly, folks, you ought to be so careful in what you do with it. Because this is God's things. And there is souls there teetering to eternity. And I'm going to get up in a big monarch meeting with that going on and that idea going on. And I'm going to start talking about Fifi. Or I'm going to start telling some long-winded story about you. Bet I ain't stifling nobody. I'm telling you, you ought to be careful to keep your hand off of what God's doing. You might be a part of what God's doing, but you ought to be very careful with it. Is this what you want me to do, Lord? I won't put my hand out on your stuff. What if this is just suppressed? I know everybody gets going. I know everybody wants to do something. Some people don't want to do anything. Some people want to do everything. Some people want to talk all the time. Some people want to talk at all. Well, there's a place between that of doing what the Lord wants you to do and be very careful about it. We believe in Holy Ghost leadership. And while we should, we need some Holy Ghost responsibility with it. I'm going to be responsible to God if I hinder somebody in their proper course. If I, in my flesh and in my unwise zeal, hamper the spirit of the working of the God in the service, I can affect somebody's eternity. Lord, help me. I ought to fear God. Lord, this is your work. This is your minister. There was a time where David was anointed to be king. You know he knew he was. It wasn't hidden. He knew he was anointed to be king. But there was a king already. And there was a king that had been anointed to be king. And this king that was to be anointed didn't like the idea of another king going to be there. So he was chasing David. And David ran. And he ran. And there come a place to where, if you remember the story, David and his men's in the fourth part of the cave, and Saul comes up in the cave, and he goes to sleep. And now here's the enemy of David asleep in the cave in front of him, and his men says, well, look at here. God hath delivered Saul into your hands. It was obvious that God delivered him. I mean, we were sleeping there. How easy would it be? And David, with a fear of God, said, I can't do it. I can't do it. That's God's anointed. God anointed him. It's up to God to remove him. It ain't up to me to remove him. And the fear of God was on him. Do you have any doubt that that would have been another man that wasn't anointed that David had took his head off? Is there any doubt that an enemy laying there that David wouldn't have executed him? Of course he would have. And you can do that to these guys. You can do that to this guy, but you better not do it to God's anointed. And David said, I can't touch him. If you remember, in one episode, he cuts his shirt tail off. And then I had to repent of that because he did that. Because, oh no, I did a disrespectful act to God's anointed. God have mercy on me for treating your anointed that way. You know, that was a horrible man too. Saul was an awful example of a king. You don't have a license to disrespect God's ministers, God's anointed, just because you don't like the way they act even. You better respect God in it all. God will take care of his own, but it's up to us to have the fear of God on us and not touch that. Get away from the ark. Give God his own. Allow God to work and deal in this. Don't fear him that's able to destroy body, but fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. This is eternity for us. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? And how do you want me to act in this whole thing? There was another episode in the scriptures. Paul, my understanding of the scenario is that the Apostle Paul had been gone a while from Jerusalem. He'd been gone a while into the work, and he had come back, and he's there, and he makes this statement, and Ananias, I believe is the name, he tells the people beside him to smite him. And they smack him in the mouth. They hit Paul in the mouth. And Paul said back, you whited wall, how is it that you stand for the law, but you judge me against the law? And the guys beside him said to Paul, revilest the high priest? And Paul was like, I wish not. I didn't know he was the high priest. I wouldn't have said it. I would not have said it. This is the Apostle Paul, probably the most spiritual authority at that time on the planet. And he backs off when they said it was the high priest, because the office was set by God. And he even said, I mean, he went so far to explain it, and he said, I wish he wouldn't. Because it's not the man. The man is defiled and corrupt. I wish he wouldn't. Because I have my spiritual authority, but I can't go against God. Place that he made. And he showed a great respect and honor to God. If anything ain't going to happen to that man, it'll be God that does it. Because God made that office, and I'm bound and I will honor. He said the scripture says to not revile an elder of the people. So can't do it in his office. I wish he wasn't though. I don't have to tell you, I'd let him have it then, but I can't do it. Because I got an honor. I respect God. I fear God. I wouldn't want to be guilty of disrespecting God. Lord help you and I. In this day and time we had, he's a friend. Thank God. He's a brother. He's God Almighty. He holds the universe in his hand. We ought to fear. We ought to fear. There was another episode in the Bible. You remember this. Belshazzar, son, grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, whatever. He was in the lineage and he's got the kingdom, and they're having a big party. Sounds like a big drunken party. And he ordered them to go get the vessels that was took out of the temple of God, that took out of God's house. And he brings these vessels, and they make merry and use them in a secular, carnal way. You know, there has a lot to this has to do with understanding. He sees a hand come out. Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin, writes on the wall. What's that mean? A hand writes on the wall. I say that sobered him up a little bit. They end up, get Daniel to come, and what's this mean? What is this writing? It means you've been weighed in the balance. And you found wanting. You know what he told him? Nebuchadnezzar had a great kingdom. And God worked with him and helped him until he knew. Remember Nebuchadnezzar out in the field like a beast? Grew fingernails like claws, and his hair was like feathers, grew so wild he went wild out in the field. And God said, I'm going to do it to you till you know there's a God in heaven. And when he got through, he said, there's a God in heaven. And he said to Belshazzar, and thou knewest these things. You knew that this was sanctified unto the Lord. You knew that God had dealt with him this way. And you so flippantly took God's things and used them in an ungodly way. You so flippantly done it, and you knew better than that, and you had no fear of God on your heart, and done that, and so tonight your kingdom's taken from you. See, you can drink. God don't strike people down. You're doing that stuff. You can act up. People doing it everywhere. This whole world's acting up. You better be careful what you do with God. He takes it seriously. There was another place in the Bible where Saul was told to go down and destroy the Amalekites. He made a great effort, 99%, but he didn't destroy him. He brought him back. And when the prophet comes, Samuel comes back and says, the first thing he says is that I've done the will of the Lord. Samuel says, really? What then is the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep that I hear? Well, the people did this and this. And you remember how Samuel took his sword and chopped the king up and said, you didn't do the will of the Lord. And when he went to turn away, Samuel grabbed him and rent his clothes. Folks, you can rent the mechanic's clothes. You might rent somebody down on the street's clothes, but don't be ripping the clothes of the prophet. You put your hand on God. It's a bad thing. Your kingdom's rent from you too. You don't have any respect for God. No honor for God. Our bottom place in living for the Lord is respecting God. Fearing God. There was another couple episodes in the scriptures. I don't know exactly all they mean. I know Paul said of the blacksmith that God rewarded him for his evil work. I don't know what he done. There was another one. What was it? Maybe Simon the sorcerer that was blinded by Paul? What are you doing? Not everybody goes around blind. Keep your hands off of God's work. Have an honor and respect for it. We get so comfortable with our own thing. Listen, our gatherings, we're all family. And I don't mean to sound like putting an undue burden of sternness on us or stiffness, because I love life and joy and love those things, and that's the way I want to live life. But this is not a family reunion. This isn't a picnic. When we come before the Lord, we come with a soberness of who God is. We ought to give that kind of respect to God, and not as just familiar with one another, but an honor and a respect for the things of God, to put our heart into God's service, to put our heart into God and what He's trying to do in our lives. I think that the fear of God is at a low ebb in our world. But Lord, help us that it's not a low ebb among us. That we maintain that God is still the God of the universe. And that I humble myself before this great God with all the reverence of who God is and what He can do. And that I don't become flippant touching His anointed, touching the holy things. Treating them any kind of way or involving any kind of disruption in them, that it don't matter. It does matter. It does matter. There was a little church down there. It was a guy I went to school with. As far as I know, in his lifetime, he never served the Lord. But I always thought that was so good. It was a little chapel over there where he lived, an old dirt road. It was a chapel, and he lived just a little ways up the road from the church building. And he would ride his motorcycle, and when they was having service in that chapel, he would come down on his motorcycle, he would cut the motorcycle off and drift by the chapel as quietly as he would, and he'd catch it in gear and keep going. When he'd come back, he'd do the same thing. He'd cut it off, so he'd be as quiet and as reverent as he could as he passed. And as far as I know, the guy was never saved. He never went to church, but he always had this honor and respect for the place that people worshiped by there. If he would have knew what was going on inside there, he'd have probably gave up on it. Just made as much noise as he was. It was so disrespectful. I actually went places before where people would sit and talk trivial about shopping and everything back the seats while the preacher was preaching. He'd just be going on and they'd be sitting back there just talking about what the good shopping deals they got and good things they had. And I sat there, wasn't even saved at the time, and sat there and said, "What is this? You're in the presence of God." I couldn't even hardly understand it. The presence of God. There ought to be some kind of an awe about it. Over in Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes is a series of instructions about life. The wise man writes them. About the vanities of life. And about how, one part of it is, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. instructions on how to live life. And it concludes about all of those, he says in the 13th verse, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole book. Let's get it into a conclusion. Fear God. This is the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. You remember the people in the Bible where it said they feared the Lord, but they worshiped their idols? That was where I think he was sending the lions in. And they was afraid of what God, this God of Israel, this Jehovah God, they was afraid of what this God could do. They had seen the power in His people and they was afraid of it. So it said they feared the Lord for what He could do. But they went ahead and worshiped their idols. This says it deeper than that. Fear God. Fear God to the point that you can't worship your idols. Fear God and keep His commandments. Do what He says to do. Fear God. I was talking to somebody, I think it was Sister Maxine, I'm not real sure, but I was talking to somebody recently, and there's this dreadfully beautiful scripture in the Bible. I ponder about it sometimes. It says that they were turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their soul might be saved. I thought, well, I want to be saved, Brother Wright. But I don't have to get to the point that I'm turned over to Satan. Because when you're turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, brother, you're done. Here. You're done. There's nothing left. Fear God. Keep His commandments. His will is that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. He ain't wanting to destroy us in the flesh. He's wanting to prosper us and help us and bless us. But if it takes that, He'll do it. Thank God He'll love us that much. I'm glad He loves us that much. But it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Don't be guilty of trifling with God. Lord, help us to have a real good, healthy fear of God. Now, I know there's different ideas, and I know that the Lord gave power to His ministers to command devils. I could tell you that. He gave us power. He gave His apostles powers over sicknesses and ministers up power over Satan and to cast out demons and do all that thing. Do you ever see anywhere in the scriptures where He gave us power to command Him? I've heard people do it. I command you, Lord. Okay. You can command away, but I think you'd be better off to humble yourself and say, I don't even know what right is most of the time, Lord. You help us. And God is a good God, and He does give us power over... We all commanded Satan at some point, haven't we? He gives us the power to do it. Command Him. Command Him to get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus. There were some people tried it one time, though. You remember the guy that come along and tried to cast out devils in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. And the Spirit said... Well, we know Paul for sure. We know Jesus for sure. But who are you? You ain't got anything. You can't come even command us here. Yeah. I remember one time when I was a young boy, didn't know nothing hardly about the Lord, wasn't living for the Lord, probably wasn't even thinking about living for the Lord. And we was down at the swimming hole one day, and there was these women come down there, and they was of a certain religious persuasion, but they wasn't very godly people. And we was there at the swimming hole, a whole bunch of us at the swimming hole, and all of a sudden there come a big old storm coming up the river. And boy, I mean, the lightning was a flashing and thunder, and it was awesome. It gave you that sense of that sense you get with these storms coming. You could feel it. And we was all moving to get out of there, and one of them women come up there, and she stood and threw her hands up and said, I rebuke this storm in the name of Jesus. And she's standing there and I'm like, get out of here. Wasn't no storm rebuke for nothing. It come just the more rolling up through there and her standing there trying to rebuke that storm and all that. Jesus rebuked the storm. Jesus rebuked the storm. Everybody else in the scripture asked Jesus to rebuke the storm. Lord, help us to have a fear of God. That He's watching. When you don't have it right, He's a loving God. But when you don't have it right, He knows it. You know it. He knows it. He's looking down on it. The thing that Ananias and Sapphira's experience did, it weeded out the hypocrisy of the early morning church. They feared God. They knew God was serious and that He was not going to allow that to be destroyed by hypocrisy. And if a big fear came upon it that this is going to have to be real, folks, the fear of God. Pray that the Lord would give us a greater fear in this day. We fear the sicknesses. We fear the storms. We fear what might befall our bodies. We fear people. We fear what people might say. We fear a lot of things. We ought to fear God. Because God holds all of those things in His hands. And He will give us that serve Him what we need. You pray for me.